Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text of the second lesson, St. Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Reconciliation. Well, what's reconciliation mean? How many of you have checkbooks? Hands up. I don't know how you can do without one. Maybe you figured out a way to handle this. Is the money in the checkbook always right? Hands up for anybody whose checkbook is always right on. So, wait, yeah, okay, Ed. I'll bet Wellsville's checkbook isn't always on. Every month you get a bank statement. Either you get it on the computer, or if you're a fossil like me, you get them to send you a piece of paper, because I like the paper stuff. I don't trust the computer. And the paper thing says, these are the things you have spent on. These are the checks you wrote. These are the deposits you made. This is what you started with, and this is what you got left. And it never agrees with the checkbook, ever. Sometimes it's closer, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you wonder where they got the number they got. So I was told a long time ago, when I first got a checkbook, there's a process called reconciliation. It means you've got to make an effort to figure out how your balance relates to the one at the bank so that the two of you can come to an understanding of what's there. So if you're wrong, you straighten it out. If the bank's wrong, it never happens. So you got to make sure that the thing is right, that it goes together, that it provides for you the information you need, and it's not questionable, but it demands you look at things and see if all the stuff is there that you thought was, and usually somewhere down the line, you didn't enter something, or maybe you entered it different, or maybe you entered it wrong. I used to do that. You can slip digits. You know, you reverse the nines and the zeros and things. That really does screw things up. That does make it almost unfixable. But you go through this, and you swear a little bit, and you think maybe the machine made a mistake. You add it three or four times. I still have in the basement an adding machine with a tape on it because I don't trust the ones that where I can't see the numbers. I got to be able to check them off. Just looking at a calculator after you've done all these things and coming up with a number don't work for me because I don't trust them. But if I got the tape, I can look at the numbers on that, look at the numbers in the checkbook, and then, oh God, look at what the bank statement shows and see if there's any relationship one to the other. Then find out where the difference is and how to fix it. Usually it means you've got to move some money around one way or the other to accomplish reconciliation, to make things go together so you've got something that you could write checks on. Because if you don't reconcile your bank account, one of these days you're going to write a check and it's going to do one of these things. And somebody's going to call you on the phone and say, why did you write me a rubber check? You're going to say, I thought I had money in the bank. Some people used to think if there was money in their checkbook, there was money in the bank. The two didn't necessarily coordinate. Once you get it properly reconciled, and that means you agree with the bank's numbers, they don't agree with yours, you figure out how to make it agree with theirs so that you can use the checkbook the way you want it to, so it functions. Well, it says here, I implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So how is it that we're reconciled to God? And how would we do it anyway? Could we do something that would make God happy enough with us so that he'd receive us, much less forgive us and give us hope, forgiveness, eternal life? Is there some payment we can make? Is there a ledger that we can work on to see all the sins we committed and all the times we were forgiven and all the other sins we committed and the times we were forgiven? Does it balance? Is there something we have to do to make the sheet balance? Can we make it balance? Can we reconcile it by something we do? Don't think so. Reconciliation is wholly God's process. He makes it possible. How does he do it? For our sake, he made him be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. A lot of words, long words. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. This is how God reconciles us. He provided for us a perfectly sinless human sacrifice to pay for our sins, so that the bottom on the balance sheet equaled out and we get forgiven. He made him to be sin, who was no sin, knew no sin, experienced no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. 40 days we're going to put up with Lent. I used to hate Lent when I was a kid because I thought it dragged on forever and ever and ever, never went away. 40 days was forever. Now it goes really quickly, and occasionally it even goes into spring, and I like that even better. 40 days. 40 days we're going to stand at the bottom of the cross, and we're going to look up, see what's there. Because on Good Friday, that cross had a body on it. It wasn't bare like it is now. The body was one Jesus of Nazareth, who, what St. Paul says, was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. So in these 40 days, how you do it? In the old days, there used to be this thing about, well, I gave up thus and such for Lent. Usually didn't mean anything, or not much. But some people did. And I remember a thing, maybe you do and maybe you don't. They used to have dollar and quarter cards that you would stick money in every day. And then at the end of the service, you would bring them in Holy Week, and they would be deposited into something, go into some kind of an offering thing, whatever it was. We don't do it here. I don't know if they ever did. But it was a thing that people did during Lent. So maybe in those days when candy bars were a nickel. Remember? No, you don't remember how long ago that was. That was when candy was first invented. But you could get a candy bar for a nickel. And if you put a nickel in the slot, that's a candy bar you didn't have. You denied yourself a little something. But the idea was self-denial because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, what he denied to make us whole. Paul says, he was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. So for 40 days, we look at the cross. Remember why it's there. Remember how we relate to it. And remember that on Easter Sunday, it's empty. Goes through Good Friday, which is hardly good. And we see it writhe and die. Then on Easter Sunday, he's found to be alive. By first some women, then some other people, and eventually everybody. But it takes a while. And mostly, the people that you would think would have been most receptive to hearing he was alive had a lot of questions. Primarily, I guess, because it was the women that told him he was alive. They saw him, and they figured out who he was when he spoke to them. Even they didn't know who he was at first. They looked, and they didn't see him. It's like there was a veil. It's kind of like the transfiguration thing. They looked on his face, and he looked different. You couldn't really understand who he was by looking at him, but you could see that there was a glory and a presence. And Mary went to do the burial thing, and she intersected Jesus. She thought he was the gardener. And she said, if you hit him, if you put him someplace, tell me where to go get him so we can do what we came to do. And then he speaks to her. Then she knows who it is. Then her eyes are open, her ears are open, and she knows and she sees. But then I think she's got more than a little trepidation to go to tell the disciples. Because I think she knew how she was going to be received by them. You know, they weren't exactly pro-women to begin with. Kind of like things are some places today, where they aren't exactly pro-women. And she went and she told them, I've seen the Lord, he's alive. And they looked at her like she was crazy. And until he appears in front of them, they will continue to wonder if she saw something because she wanted to, or if it really happened. So that's the end of this 40-day thing that we're starting tonight. Remembering that he was made to be sin so that we might be acceptable to God, that God might pronounce us acceptable. We wear these ashes, though only temporarily today, because we didn't have them early this morning, to remind us that one of these days we will go back to being ash, and we will be looking for God to save us, to bring us to himself. to make us his righteousness. And that will be the end of Lent and Easter. May these 40 days be blessings to you in your time of thought about what it is that he died in our place, how he did it, and what it is that now he's alive. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.